powerful tool for improving your life. Let's just quickly open the session with a kirtan, and then we will move to the actual content. We can do Hare Krishna. That is always very nice. We were thinking of Neeraj. Yes, Neeraj has become an unofficial member of the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band. We were kidnapping him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, I know you can do about 100% better. Some of you, I like to always ask, are you still thinking? Are you still in the moods? Are you still in your mind? Or are you already singing kirtan? Especially our boys were a little bit absorbed in digestion. So please sing now a little louder. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Excellent, excellent. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Gita, Hare Gita, Gita Gita, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Gita, Hare Gita, Gita Gita, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Gita, Hare Gita, Gita Gita, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Niraj! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hi Bo! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Go, Premanandi! Hare 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 Go! Hare Krishna! You are practiced in the art of dancing. It was one summer morning. I never forget that morning. The telephone rang. No one was at home. I was the only one, and I picked it up. And on the other line, there was my angry, giant-like grandfather. He started the conversation, totally untypical for him, by asking, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "I know trouble was brewing," so I said, "Please, you know everything, you tell me what's wrong with me. Come here immediately." And he put the phone down. Oh. I was in the midst of trying to finish my script for my first movie. I was really busy. The next day I needed to go with my friends to France. And now my angry grandfather. I knew when he would rarely get angry, but if he would get angry, this was an apocalyptic anger. It was not easy to deal with. So I knew I would only worsen it if I would not come. So reluctantly, I went on the bicycle. And on the way, he lived like 15 minutes by bike from where I lived. I was maybe, I think, about 14 years old. On the way, I thought, what could it be? Why could he be so angry? He's a kind giant, not an angry giant. And then it dawned upon me, it must have something to do with that tree which he planted when I was born. So right, drove, and I went shakenly through the gate of the garden, and he was already outside. He looked like really I was in trouble. He said, "Come." So I followed him into the garden behind the house. So there's a garden gate, you pass through it, then there's the house, and then you go behind the house into this garden. And he went to a tree, and I knew it was about, when we took that route to that one tree, I knew. And I felt very sorry. My grandfather had, you must know, planted when I was born a tree for me, an apple tree, and he had watered it and taken care of it until I came. I grew up on an island between Denmark and Germany, but when I returned to Hamburg, that's the town of my birth, my grandfather was already living since a few decades in the town. And yes, when I had returned, he had said, "Now you take care of this tree. It is your tree of life." It's an old Nordic custom in our clan or dynasty of whatever you call this ancestral line, that upon the birth of a newborn child, there's a tree, and it's his tree, it represents his life. So I had been so busy with filming and with my life, social life, and my friends and so on, that I had forgotten to water the tree. And so I was fearing the worst. And when we arrived at the tree, it was hanging, its branches were hanging down. It was really dying of thirst. The grandfather said, "I have given you this tree in your care. It is representing your life. You have to take care of this tree as long as you live here. And you have disappointed me, and you have almost killed your tree. So now you take action." Then he went home, and I stayed with the tree. I spoke to the tree, and I brought, of course, water. I forgot about this incident when I became a devotee. I was very busy throughout my life as a devotee. I was first translating Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita into the German language. I think you know my mother tongue is not English. And after words, I was going out to distribute the Bhagavad Gita and other books of Srila Prabhupada. And I was after that Sankirtan book distribution phase, I was requested to take care of the growing congregation of devotees who lived outside. I was frequently coming into the temples. I sometimes came to England, but I think that was at the time when you were not yet born. In my life as a preacher, I noticed something. I noticed something in regards to the practitioners of Krishna consciousness, the temple. They were spiritually well engaged, but often they were physically not well, they were not healthy, not strong, often diseased, not often diseased, but they were weak physically. But what I noticed also, they were emotionally weak. They lacked self-confidence, and they lacked happiness, just general happiness. I also noticed one thing, that as strange as it sounds, sometimes devotees, especially who lived in the temple, had symptoms of selfishness. They didn't care about others. They thought maybe the guests were a burden to their usually life. And I thought, something is amiss here. Although we are practicing the highest philosophy, often in our lives we are not really happy, we are not strong, we are socially not connected with each other, and so on. And around that time I came upon a morning walk of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, of course, of Srila Prabhupada, but a morning walk he did in Tehran. Just now, before Neeraj came, just when I came out of the door, I had been speaking with the devotees in Persia, Tehran. No one should know outside of our circle that there are devotees, because it's very dangerous for them. Very dangerous. I mean, very, very, very dangerous. Their life is in danger if they practice Krishna consciousness in a country where this other religion is very prominent. No? And there, Prabhupada paid one visit to Tehran, to Persia, and planted the seed. And he spoke in a morning conversation about the tree of life. He said, it is not that we should neglect the body and the mind in Krishna consciousness. No, it is not. Instead, we should cultivate the body and the mind in such a way that the fruit of self-realization will come. Wow, I thought. And I remembered my grandfather, who had by that time left his body already. And I remembered that incident. And then I found a few other quotations of Srila Prabhupada to the effect where he compared the body with a tree. There's a very special nest in the tree. Can you imagine what that would be, speaking allegorically? What could be a special place in the body? Anyone? Heart, the heart. The heart is very special. It has a physical dimension. It's the pump. It has an emotional dimension. You know, when we say in the Pandava Senas, oh, Maharaj, I feel a love in my heart. Then they go, ah, I feel, you know. This is the emotional dimension of the heart, no? And then there is a spiritual dimension of the heart. Who could imagine who is staying in the spiritual way, in the spiritual heart? Who's there? I know it's an intriguing question. Yes? You said Krishna. You know everything. Not? Yes, the super soul is there, and soul, yes. Ram was pointing, I'm here. You know. So this is a very necessary understanding, the heart. is a very special nest in the tree of the body, where the soul and the super soul is. The soul tries to enjoy the fruits, and the super soul only witnesses. I think you have heard these Upanishadic verses. So I read on and on, and then I came up with a model for all around well-being. Imagine you could be healthy, strong, emotionally confident, happy, socially well-connected and contributing to the well-being of others, and above all, spiritually well-nourished. Then you would have no trouble at all. So the tree of life is a model which will help you to reach that level. Would you like to know it? How much are you willing to pay for this session? I usually, one session costs $5,000, but for you it's for free. So listen very carefully. Maybe I should charge you, then you would be more alert. But I will not do this because you are great devotees and saints, and I want to obviously serve you. You need to listen very intently now at the beginning. This is a program which is founded on a very simple principle, and that is that each one of us is a composite being. The different parts to us. We have a body that is visible. We have emotions. We have relationships to others. But perhaps most important, the root of our being is we are spiritual beings in this material world. We are souls within the body and the mind. So, ideally, our spiritual, physical, emotional, and social aspects should be in harmony, in balance. That's not often the case. For instance, now I can look at you and I can see you are a little bit sleep deprived. You're physical, you're not doing so well in the physical area of your life. Neeraj is not sleep deprived because he's excited because he played Mridanga, and that's good for circulation of the brain because these upper muscles are active. And others of you are also, the dancers are also awake, but maybe I'm the only one who's sleep deprived here. Prabhupada once said, when you see that others are tired, it means most probably you are tired. So maybe it's this. We have to be very honest in the Tree of Life session, no? So good. Ideally, everything should work together. Emotionally, you should be happy. Spiritually, you should be well nourished. And socially, you should do not suffer from selfishness, but give something to others. So these four areas are best represented by a tree. Now this is the weakest part of Satchinanda Swami. I draw like a 3-year-old kid, so forgive me. In the tree of life, the roots correspond to our our spiritual well-being. What you did up to now, for instance, was really focused mainly on this. After you have had a hopefully restful night, you came here for the first session, which was a japa session that was meant to nourish the roots of your existence. Am I loud enough without microphone? Yes?
Yeah.
So then afterwards, we had a session where we were guided through the morning program. Remember, we heard about the power of prayer, of ceremonies, of japa, and so on. And this was all a spiritual exercise which was meant to do three things: to connect us with Krishna, to empower us spiritually, not physically, and to also protect us as we go through our life. This was the root program, so to say. Now, the human being needs also something which corresponds to the trunk, you know, how he stands in the world. That is the physical and emotional side of his being. You forgive me, no? This is the crown of the tree of life. I am going to paint this because we will now go into each one of the four areas. Sometimes people ask, I only see three areas, spiritual, physical, and social, yeah. So I see an area that relates to myself as a soul, the way I am, an area that relates to my physical being in this world, and to an area that relates to my relationship with others. Is there a cat, maybe? Can I please give this to you? Please keep it, I might use it again. Where is the fourth area? You have to know one thing. Your body and your emotions are very, very much connected. You know this when you are hungry, then you cannot concentrate any longer. And when you are super hungry, I mean, when you have not taken prasadam for a day, or I think you are young, you need to eat a lot in intervals, snacking and all that, then you become very disturbed and you feel, I can't have a conversation now, I need to first do something for the physical body. Also, we have seen that people who are, it works vice versa also, emotionally strong, they send good and strong chemicals into their body. You know, the emotional well-being has a lot to do with these biochemical processes in our body. When we are, for instance, under stress in our mind, then we send stress hormones out, and if you do this too long, you're really in danger to invite cancerous growth into your body. Weak emotions send weak chemicals, and strong emotions send strong chemicals. My dear everyone, there is such a connection between the mind and the body, you won't believe it. There's a study done by the psychotherapist Ellen Langer in the University of Harvard with New York roommates from Puerto Rico. That's a particular part of Latin America, if I'm well informed. So these roommates were really developing a lot of weight, that it became a concern. They worked in the hotel, then they went home, and usually they were exhausted. Their lifestyle was either they would look at TV and throw food items into their mouth, or they would, we don't need to go through a typical evening of a Puerto Rican, a roommate, maiden. You know, you can imagine not the most elevated activities, maybe, things in relationship to male partners and so on. So, the researchers looked at the life of what they would do, these roommates, and find out that actually making rooms is a lot of physical activity. It's a physical workout, you know, with the vacuum cleaners. They climbed staircases, they changed the bed sheets around, they shook the cushions, and they opened and closed windows, drew curtains, and so on. They found out it's a very good workout. So they went to this one big hotel, Hilton Hotel. They got them all together. It was an army of 200 of such roommates. And they said, listen, roommate, you are doing a fantastic workout. You should be in excellent shape, you know, because of this free fitness workout. My dear everyone, this information, your work is fitness training, which is a mental idea, did so much. They became slim, shapely. Is that the way you say it? I don't know if it, Sanyasi can say it like this. Please forgive me, my mother tongue is not English. No, they developed a healthy heartbeat. They developed healthy muscular and nervous function. Just with this information, I'm doing a workout. It was a mental thing. And soon some of them thought, well, let us do a little bit more. Let us invest maybe half an hour in the gym, you know, and so on. And they could come out of this area where they were suspects for early cancer or early woman diseases, you know. They came out of this troubled area just by the mind, which is over matter. A strong mind, everyone, creates the physical situations that are necessary for growth. Prabhupada used to say mind over matter. No? So, therefore, in the Tree of Life model, body and mind are represented by the trunk of the Tree of Life. I always used to say the wood and the bark, but let's not be too detailed here. And our social well-being is when we are able to give fruits to others, when we are able to give them attention, when we are able to give them a feeling of confidence and security, when we share our own insights with people. So a human being, that is my main point, is a composite being. Does a composite, it gives sense, it makes sense, yes. Compositorium, we say in Latin, no? So you are, everything of this is together, and everything needs to be taken care of. Have you seen, for instance, social welfare workers? I think Chitti Shakti must have seen them in her profession. They are very good in the crown, but they are often lacking severely in their own emotional well-being. They are maybe physically very unhealthy, and they have such bad breath that every time they open their mouth, they must be arrested for air pollution. You know, yes, this is, I'm sorry, but this is the reality. Because their digestion is so poor, their health is so poor, and they often suffer from what is called in the compassion fatigue. Or you have seen other people, monks, who are so good in the roots, in their spiritual work, but they lack health, they are often tired and exhausted, and so on. I'm at this moment in this little situation because I traveled too much and did not take time for my exercises. I usually like to do a little yoga in the day, but I just brushed it aside and so on. No, and you see, spiritual people, they don't take care also of their social dimension. They may not, and of their emotional dimension. I've seen many times ladies have to take care of this, and also men. For sometimes I've seen ladies in our movement who've thought, oh, I don't need partnership. I'm beyond this. And the answer is yes, as a devotee, you need a relationship to Krishna, but you are also a human being. And you need to see that as a human being, you are emotionally safe and emotionally cared for. This is important for you. I've seen in marriages in Krishna consciousness terrible problems because the one good devotee woman thought, well, my husband should be only a good devotee. I want to have the best devotee. But when you marry, you don't just marry the devotee, you marry also a human being. And you will find that out very soon. He will have certain habits, or she will have certain habits. She will have a certain nature, which may be compatible, but if you have not checked, it might not be compatible. And then over these human things, you rub yourself hard in a way that is not congenial for you. No? So both dimensions need to be taken care of, spiritual and also human dimensions. That's why in Vedic times you would ask an astrologer to give you tips, because they would see from the astrology, oh, this is the nature of this person from the time of his birth, and so on. We have learned as a movement the hard way, because in the old times, that is, when the movement was founded, we sometimes did not pay enough attention to this. So with this little talk which I gave to you now, this little section, I wanted to share with you, all the aspects need to be taken care of. None should be neglected for too long. We all agree that In the tree of life, what would you consider is the most important, or let us say the most vital aspect? The roots. We know if the roots are cut, this is the end of the tree. Right? So spiritual practice is the most important for a human being. That is without question. But then we should also look at the other aspects. Do you know that Prabhupada did every day something for the trunk of the tree of his life? What did he do? Morning walk, yes. And massage. And he was very particular with his food. He would, in every situation, he would say, okay, now I have mucus, no yogurt, I cannot take yogurt. Khichdi with good ginger is required, you know. So, yes. Also spiritual people, highly developed spiritual people need this thing. So I would like to now give you a few suggestions what you could do for each of the four areas, and then I will open the platform for questions. Is it still interesting? Yes. Well, you can't say no. This was an unnecessary question, we would say. It is. I'm sorry. I hope we will. What would you like to hear first about? Is it all right if we do the root of the tree? Because it's the most important? Good. First of all, everyone, you need to define your own Krishna conscious practices. Like I said this morning, you will most probably not be able to do the full morning program with the Bhagavatam class and so on. This is not realistic. But then I want to ask you, what is realistic for every one of you? You need to sit down. What will I do? You know, a good devotee is not only a good devotee when others look. A good devotee is a good devotee when no one looks. When Krishna, Siddhi Shakti has said this in the past. Today only, she said to you, yes. I see this often with our devotees. They're very Paka, you know, when they come together, give the right. I'm not so much interested when I look at someone how he is now. I'm interested when I go at 9 o'clock in their apartment to see what is on the computer at that time. No, because and Krishna will see that also. So you need to therefore sit down and define, okay, this is what I'm doing. You have to be honest. Can I chant 16 rounds? When I'm in the public forum, I will say yes. But what will I do at home? That is more interested. How many rounds can you chant? Is it 12 rounds? Then chant 12 rounds. Is it 8 rounds? Fine, it's fine. 4 rounds, it's fine if that is what you can do. But you need to do this regularly. Huh? This you need to define. Please, my dear everyone, this process is not how you look when you come to the party. This is in material life. You do anything and everything, and then you come on Saturday evening to the gathering of your friends. You dress very paka, everything is clean, your hair is extremely curved at the right place, you know, and what else is there? you have fresh, you swallow every minute a fresh mint pastille for the breath, and you have trained your muscles, you look very impressive when you come. No, I know you. And so on. Krishna consciousness is how you are on every other day, and also on Saturday. You follow? Do you agree? Does this make sense? Because this is not for show. This is for real. So define therefore your own Krishna conscious practice that you can easily stick to. It's easier to commit to a standard that is doable for you than to put the bar too high. No? This will help you to create like a daily routine that is both enjoyable and that produces powerful results over the long time. Then in spiritual life there is one very interesting principle. It is same time, same place. Do at the same time, at the same place in your apartment, spiritual activities. That is, look for a distraction-free time, and then your mind can settle. Think of the best times for your practice. There is no set rules, but if you can make it in the morning, my dear devotees, it will help you so much. However, if it is not possible, then the second best time is in the evening when the day is over and you can switch off. Do you know this evening, you know, there's really me and Krishna time. Sometimes when you come back from the day, it helps to have a quick shower, just shower and reset. And then in the evening, read. In the evening, a good book to read is Mahabharata. That is expressed in the... it's good in the morning to read Bhagavatam, in the noontime, Gita, and in the evening, Mahabharata. Mahabharata, Mahabharata, no? I have seen one episode. It was not bad, no? It was good, yeah. Have you seen Shitty Sagar? Mahabharata. The Mahabharata is good for reading. I highly recommend the book which was written in England. It is really a very good rendition from our Krishna Dharma. It's detailed, it is philosophically very inspiring, and so on. And it's easy, and an easy read in the evening. It is said, in the morning you hear about a thief. That's Krishna, Bhagavatam. In the noon, you hear about the one who brought Dharma. That's Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the evening, you hear about he who conquered all enemies. Yeah. Also Krishna. Three Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. What else? You can also read Ramayana in the evening. That is also... I think why, you asked why. Well, in the morning our mind is so fresh and we can engage with philosophy. Bhagavatam is sometimes not easy. We have to really focus. Gita is a little bit easier. And in the evening, we have our mind is stretched with the activities of the day. We need something grabbing, which grabs our attention, where we don't have to, on our own, bring so much strength to our seeing. No? I have written it separately because it's so important. When you do practice there little amounts of practice, when you do it every day, makes you very strong. There was a village in Gujarat which was ruled by a criminal who was really strongly built. And there was a poor man, Mr. Patel. And the village ruffian who was ruling the village, that is unfortunately in village culture sometimes there, that these criminal mafioso type of people have a lot of influence. He said, "I will come to you, Mr. Patel, in 1 year, and I will take your land." So Mr. Patel went to the local saint. What could I do? And the saint said, "It's very simple. When your cow calves, when does it calf? Well, 4 weeks or so. Then you take the calf and bring it up to the temple mandir on the hill. Do this for a year and you will be so strong that no ruffian in the world will even come close to your shadow." Mr. Patel followed the advice. He brought his, it was about 100 steps, and he put the calf there, and the calf looked at the deity and went, And then Mr. Patel brought the calf down. The next day he did it. He did it for a month, and he noticed, my God, the calf is becoming heavier. And his muscular physique was becoming heavier also. Then after, you know, the calf was growing, but every day Mr. Patel brought the calf to the village deity. The calf enjoyed it. It was an effortless ride. After 1 year, Mr. Patel looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm trying to speak your language. Please acknowledge. He looked so sturdy, he was so strong, so fit, that the village ruffian did not even bother to visit him with an indecent demand. He became actually very impressed and said one day, "Mr. Patel, how did you become so strong?" Mr. Patel, "My secret." So sadhana does the same thing. If you do it every single day, it will be really effective. However, my dear everyone, don't carry too much. When you carry too much, when you do too much, you will break and your enthusiasm will not hold up, because it becomes a strain and a stress for you. No? You follow? If Mr. Patel would have carried a bull from the start, he would have given up. He would not have done it. Maybe after 10 years he can carry a bull. I don't know if a human being can do so much, but... And the last thing I want to mention under spiritual nourishment that nourishes the root of our tree is read regularly. I know some of us are not readers by nature. We have to read in the university to stay in the classes. And then the last thing we want to do, if we are not readers, is to read anything. But just a little bit, just Prabhupada would say, touch the Bhagavatam, read only half a verse, says the Skanda Purana. If that is all you can do, half a verse will nourish you greatly. I will not go into more details here. Or does any one of you have a question? That would be different. Yes? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. So far it seems very eye-opening. One question I had on this in particular was when we were speaking about defining our practices and being realistic. Sometimes I definitely struggle to be realistic with my practices as well, and it leads to sometimes feeling a little bit overwhelmed or on the other side burnt out. So how can I better have an awareness of what's realistic?
Yeah, what is real? You check the your parameters. What concrete? When the practice creates stress for you, it's not the right practice. When the practice nourishes you on the other side, makes you more enthusiastic to render service, makes you more compassionate, makes you more, wow, this is so good, you know, and you want to share, you're on the right side. Sometimes I must say a committed practice will create stress, no question. And it's good if we give a little bit more, and if we don't come out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we have to perform what is tapasya. I know also, I'm committed to 16 rounds a day, like you are when you take initiation. And I must admit, with so much service, sometimes, it's not easy for me to fulfill this, but I have to. I have given my vow, so then there is a little stress, and I might finish my rounds at 11 o'clock. You know, it can happen. The way what I do is when the rounds are when it comes into this, where you feel it's walk. When you sit at that time, the mind becomes more restless. So if you give it a little walk, then it's easier. Walk up and down and finish it. But if your practice in too many days in a row should create stress, be speaking of this, then you must see. Now there is a problem, my dear everyone. It's with initiation. Once you give your vows, it's very important to keep them, because if you then, after giving the vows, lower your standard, then something breaks in you, which is called integrity, and that's a terrible loss. You need integrity. So, therefore, please know, initiation is not about getting a name. And or belonging to the group. No, it is a serious commitment. There is a lot of discussion about this. We all know that yes, when the devotees come to the party, they will all say, I'm chanting 16 rounds. But when you visit them in their daily life, they struggle. Believe me, I know it, because I give japa retreats, and many devotees come in confidence to me during the retreat and say, Maharaj, it's just so difficult for me. What can I do? And I always give the same advice. We need to work on your taste, that you chant with taste, because if anything you do with taste, you don't mind. to do a little extra, isn't it? You always find time for what you have taste for. For instance, eating. You always find time. After any and every circumstance, there is still time to put that roti in the mouth. And so on. Yes, so therefore, but here we talk differently. Here's not, most of you are not initiated. So define what is good for you to do. And here comes a secret. When you do a spiritual practice that you like doing, you want to increase it. Anything you like to do, you increase it, isn't it? When you like, for instance, physical workout, you will add something, or yoga practice, you will add something. When you like anything, I don't know what example I could give, going with your friends somewhere, you will somehow find time and arrange your day so that you can spend that nourishing time with your friends and so on. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when you start the process of Krishna consciousness, don't look for the big numbers. So and so many rounds, so and so many verses a day, and so on. Better is you have quality sadhana which nourishes you so that you like it, and then you will naturally increase it. That's human psychology. Yes, we can push ourselves sometimes, and yes, we should push ourselves sometimes. Otherwise, we remain always at the thing. But in Krishna consciousness, we know of a power that is much more strong than the pushing power. And you are raising your hand?
How do we cultivate this taste?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the pulling power. I need to finish my sentence. I will come to you in a moment. In Krishna consciousness, we know much of a power which is much stronger than your own pushing power. It's Krishna's attractiveness who pulls you. We just come from a very nice festival where we were just bathing in Krishna's beauty and his pastime. And when we were driving here, a good amount of our time, driving time, I would say easily 20 minutes, was spent where the devotees in the car shared their experiences with Krishna on Jamashtami. It was an amazing sharing session. Amazing. Very personal, very nice. So this pulling power, how far can we go on our own steam? We have a little steam. But how far can you go when Krishna pulls you? Far, very far. You follow? Therefore, don't overstress. Now our devotee asked, how can I increase my taste? That was your question, right? There are many answers to this question. I would say to you the most easy answer is do something that you do now, a pilgrimage, where you leave your normal activities, where you go to a place like this and receive a booster. You understand? This word booster has become used in modern times more and more for various areas, where you become refreshed in your spiritual practice. It says the place where you increase your taste is the association of devotees who are engaged in spiritual practices, not if they talk gossip. We are a community which speaks maybe 70% about one thing and a dwindling 10% about Krishna. No? When you are like this evening, everyone, we will go into the temple and take part in the temple kirtans. Is it? Was I correct? When do we start? 8:15 we are there. Make sure you are there. This is a great taste improver. If you are not too tired or if you're not extremely hungry. So try to, you know, tree of life, no? When the trunk is damaged, it will, the roots will know, you know. So you have to take care of all aspects of your being. This is a simple answer. If you want to have a more concrete answer, we would have to talk personally and I would have to take your pulse. But there some things might come out which are not so pleasant for you when I read your pulse. So, so what can we do on the physical level? Guys, now, listen to this. This is guys talk. But I will include the ladies also. Move and exercise your body. If I regret one thing in my spiritual life is I was not enough aware of this, and now my body is weaker than it should be. Move and exercise your body. It doesn't have to be much. You can just do these sit-ups. Is it called sit-ups? No, when you go... Squats. And then push-ups. And then sit-ups. Finished! Do it regularly. It will be like the Mr. Patel, you know. You remember our calf Patel, you know? So move and, or when you have an opportunity, dance. And I think this message has arrived safely at some of you. Dancing, wow. Don't forget the hands also, not just the legs. Just dance away, you know. Dance through the window into the you get the idea. Dance sufficiently. It is good for the mood also. You begin to first grin and then smile and then laugh and then scream with happiness. This is the general build up. But we are not every day in kirtan. So therefore, some little exercise will help you amazingly. For everyone, learn the keys to good sleep. Quality sleep will positively affect not only your physical well-being, but your mental well-being also. You can Google that. I'm not so good, I'm now old. I could now lie down on the seat and I would be gone in 1 minute. That's not so good, you know. That's not so good. Learn the secrets of quality sleep. Really, there are few things. For the men amongst you who are restless, I know when we are young we have so much energy, I just suggest do push-ups until you are dead. And then then you sleep like an angel. Because if you have so much energy, which is not, then you lay down and you, when is it coming? 50 minutes already. I'm waiting. Oh, half an hour I'm waiting. Get out of bed and do the push-up treatments. This is for the my dear ladies. You are constituted in a different way. Learn the keys to good sleep. Then invest in your breath. Be in fresh air and learn to take long, slow, and deep breaths. That is a great booster for your health. Then another is make water your best friend, not Coca-Cola. I know theoretically no one drinks Coca-Cola. Practically many drink of you. Or Sprites or soft drinks. Make water your best friend. Hydrate yourself by ample amounts of pure water. Your brain and body is not a cactus. You know, the cactus can stay in a dry, arid desert. If you learn to have enough water, it will flush out all the toxins and so on. And so on. I will give more tips. You can see that when you get your handouts. Now we will come to the maybe a very important level for some of us, the emotional level. We are still there in the trunk, no? I've written the first point is surround yourself with friends that are affectionate, caring, and supportive. Therefore, I believe Krishna Sok can do so much to the people because here we are learning these values to serve each other. No? So surround yourself with friends that are affectionate, caring, and supportive. That will do a lot to keep you emotionally well. It is said in Gopal Champu, when Krishna entered the ashram of Sandipani Muni, where they would observe or be in the Gurukul, Sandipani Muni saw Krishna for the first time. In his first impression, he said, I can see he ate a lot of butter in his youth. That was his first statement. Then Sandipani Muni, Krishna learns from him. He must be someone who's quite there. He said, the second thing I can see, he had the care of an affectionate mother. You know the mother of Krishna? Who? Yashoda, yes, she would care for him like anything. So, caring, affectionate environment is important. Those who are managing the Krishna society, I want to say to you, this is most probably the main attractive feature of any group, that it's caring and affectionate. Radhanath Maharaj once told me that he is convinced that the main reason why someone decides to join the Krishna consciousness movement is not philosophy. I was surprised. No, someone may think this is a good philosophy, but he will always look, how are the people doing? Could I mix well with these people? Could I be nourished? Philosophy, I can read at home if I like it so much. But to join a movement, I will really see is the caring, affectionate support there, because that takes care of my emotional well-being like anything. So we have this responsibility. I do understand from a short discussion I had this morning with some of you that you are the core group of KC SOC. Is it correct? Core group. You have to see that the affectionate, caring, and supportive relationships are there? Practice this amongst yourself. Practice it here. Ask each other, how are you doing? Are you poor? Do you need a little marzipan? I can organize, you know, or you know, like this. No? Yeah. A very good mindset is to cultivate a mindset if you want emotional well-being. Ask yourself, what can I be grateful for today? Instead of asking what is not right today, there will be many things, we live in the material world, ask yourself, what is good? For what can I be grateful? That mindset is very important. And then the third point, find your burning yes, you know, something which you can identify as your purpose, an inspiring vision and a goal in life. This will draw strength, enthusiasm and confidence in your life. An inspiring goal. Like, my dear devotees, I have all these inspiring goals. I'm generally enthusiastic. Sometimes, of course, something happens and for a moment I need to digest that first. But generally, I have understood this. A vision that is greater for yourself will draw the best out of you, the very best. Wow, Casey Sock, we want to increase the number of programs. We want to bring this program to other universities. Wow, this I want to, because Prabhupada said he wanted the intelligent people to take Krishna consciousness and they usually come to the university. I know there are a few very unintelligent people, including professors. I know this, you know, generally people try to go there to widen their horizon. And do you know a secret for your emotional well-being? This will level you to the floor. Trying to speak your language. It is don't think about your emotional needs. Think of the needs of others. It is in giving where we receive the most, not in taking. This is so much an illusion in the materialistic society that so many good people remain emotionally in a starvation zone. If you do something good for others, my God, will you become happy? You will feel. There was once a man. He had a terrible life and he went to a saint to bless him. He might have heard one of the lines of the Guru Puja that the spiritual master can fulfill all desires. So he went there and said, oh, Maharaji, my life is very terrible. Maharaji, my wife has left me. Ooh, my son doesn't follow me. No. He does what he wants. Health, nishta, not good. Neighbors, not good. Everything is bad. So the saint said to him, have you done something good already today for others? Maharaji, you didn't understand. I need support. Maharaj, healthy, wife, son, everything gone. Have you done something for the good of others today? This Maharaj doesn't understand me. Maharaji, and he went away. I'm trying to speak your language. He went away. So then this very nice saint turned to those who stayed. feel so sorry for him because he doesn't yet know that if you care for others, God cares for you. This he doesn't know. And God's care and support, affection, is like that of millions of friends. No? It's very good. So do something for the benefit of others. And I think Krishna society or Pandava Sena or the whole, there is a lot of opportunity to render service. Lots of opportunity. I can imagine if you asked Pulkit. I forget names. Pulkit. Pulkit, wonderful name. Why do I forget this? And Nilesh asked. Is it not Nilesh? It's something else. Niraj. Pulkit Niraj. No other name. So ask them. You will get ideas. They can supply you with good ideas. Emotional well-being. And now comes something which is a little touchy, I know. But I have become convinced that you need to also practice a little self-compassion. Be kind, speak kind, and think kind of yourself. Don't kill yourself by overthinking, I'm the worstest, my standard is low, I will never be initiated if I continue like this, and so on and so forth. See what you can do. Oh, I went on this retreat, Krishna Sukh retreat, and I learned, I contributed. See the good things in your life. It comes back to being grateful, but this is slightly different. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a piece where he says, I should also love myself, listen to this, because I am inclined towards Krishna. This is wonderful. You are great souls. When Prabhupada went into this direction of thought, he would say, all my disciples are pure devotees. He would love them so much, just for the little service. Maybe it was the statement of a loving father to his blind son, open Malochan, O lotus eyed one. Maybe it was like this, but you are very wonderful people. Now, I don't want to pose a talk anymore like this because it might go in the wrong channel and bolster up your false ego, and then you become a monster. To be kind to yourself doesn't mean to feed your pride. It means to just not deprecate yourself. To stop with this, listen to this new word which I learned in English, negative self-talk. Our Chitti Shakti can tell us, as a clinical psychologist, psychiatrist even, ooh, sit properly here. You know, that so many people suffer from negative self-talk. They are feeding poison to themselves. There is a study about the damage which this negativity creates. And one thing which was looked at was anger. And they said they made a person very angry, poked him. And they asked him to... How do we... What is this movement? To breathe on. There must be another word for it, more concrete. So, okay, to breathe on a mirror. And then they took that, it's a condensate, and they gave it to guinea pigs. When he was a little angry, then they made one a little angry for, let us say, 10 minutes, poking him, you idiot, you idiot, you idiot. So then the condensate killed one guinea pig. There was so much poison. When they made him really angry, and asked him a few times, 90 guinea pigs were killed. This is how poisonous anger is. It's amazing, isn't it? 90 or maybe 19, I'm not so sure, but many guinea pigs. I've forgotten immediately because I thought how cruel to the guinea pigs. But the point here is anger and other negativities create so much poison that you keep in your body and it makes you sick. Be kind to yourself. See what you do well. When you do something well, reward yourself. Drink a glass of water. I mean, this is not a big reward, it's a small reward. What could we do to reward ourselves? Mahaprasada. Yeah, steal burfi from the Mahaprasad plate. Something. Exhale, okay, and you exhale, Yes. So you will find all this listed down. I just elaborated a little on it, and when you find it on your WhatsApp, you every point will make sense. I would like, because we are getting really short with time, compassion, the value that informs our crown of the tree of life. My dear devotees, my dear friends, of whoever you are, dear students, I am now almost 70 years old. Scandal. I tell you as an elderly person, what I have, one of the many things I have learned is expect less, give more. Then you are very fine. Expect less, give more. And I will only talk this one sutra. You will find the other suggestions how you can do. But this is such a good formula. When I go into a relationship expecting the other to do something or to be a certain way to me, he will have difficulties to be exactly like I expect him to be. But if I go into any relationship and I try to support, I try to be of help, I try to listen more than I speak. If that is wanted, if they want an advice, then of course I will speak. Everything changes. And there are practically no, people who are not inclined towards you or who are inclined towards you in an unfavorable way. No. With this simple thing, expect less, give more. You have a summary of the crown of the social, of the tree of life. You can find the other suggestions when you will be sent your WhatsApp message, no? The WhatsApp document. But this is really to sum it up. I will stop here. Do you have any questions? Chitti Shakti, yes?
Just on your last point, Maharaj, expect less and give more. The times we're living in right now, the way society is, lots of people not just who come to KCSOC, but even devotees who are already practicing, mm-hmm. they've had difficult upbringings or difficult relationships, and so they come in with certain patterns and experiences. So this sutra, expect less and give more, it's very inspiring. But I think people also have a fear that it will be exploited. So how does the conscious protect us and allow us to fully live that?
Yeah, this is very, very true, no? I think the answer has to come from how we conduct ourselves as a society. If we are really aware that we deal affectionately with each other and supportively, when these are values, then all these broken hearts who come to us and broken people, they will find a nourishing environment and regain trust. I have seen when people are broken, they take longer to gain trust. I've seen. It takes them a longer time. So we must inspire the trust in others. As far as we are concerned, when it comes to us, when we hear the sentence, I should expect less and should give more. Oh my God, this sounds heavy. I came with certain expectations. Now I'm told I should expect less. I want to ask you a question. When does this phenomena which we call love, I'm speaking of human love now, or let us say affection or friendship, these type of feelings, when does it happen? When we are not scared, and when we also enter a relationship in a giving way. It's almost, you know, like a little lemon tree. We, friends of ours, not friends, they're devotees actually, they're much more. Gaur Krishna and myself will visit in Split. They planted a lemon tree. From the very beginning, planting, not buying one small lemon tree, but the seed of a lemon tree. So they needed to nourish it. And then they were thinking, when does the lemon come? We need a lemon. That's why we planted the tree. Now if you go to the poor tree and say, lemon, lemon, lemon. Will the lemon come? No. You have to continue to nourish. And if you become impatient, lemon, lemon, lemon. I want lemon, lemon, lemon. The lemon tree will not be able to supply a lemon. After some time, nature has to decide this. The lemon tree has one lemon, two lemon, you know, and then more lemons. In the same way, the phenomena of love happens when you water this item. Sexuality happens very fast if two people are agreeing, but that's not necessarily love. That is only a nerve excitement. That is not love. That's something else. The ideal is that sexual. Anyways, what do I know about this? And I don't want to talk about it. It's not my job. Ask the psychotherapeut if there is a question about this. The point is, I'm speaking of this feeling between two people, the love. I'm not speaking about physical expressions or mental expression or verbal expressions. Love can be expressed in various ways. It happens when we nourish like the fruit of the lemon tree. Does this make sense? In theory, I think yes, but you will have to see. People's relationships, you know better than me, have become so superficial. Friendships, often I know between men and men, that I'm speaking of something that is, how do you say, not physical. I'm speaking of friendships. Very rarely there are friendships that are cultivated enough so that they can tell what they want to tell. As you know, I have criticized the devotees often. They say to me one thing because they don't dare to tell the truth to me. And I always know when he says this, it means the opposite most properly. And I'm getting crazy. What is the truth here? How can I help? How was the class? Very good, Maharaj. And when I would say, but I saw you sleeping. It can't be very good. It must have been boring to the like anything. Why don't you say it then? You can use poetic words. It was a class where my attention started to wander, and so on. So, yes, coming back to you, we have to be aware. People come who are broken. People come who are disappointed. People come, and therefore they will look very carefully. Are the people in Krishna society, Krishna Sok, are they different, or will I be hurt again? No, that we have to be aware, and we have to. Therefore, you will find His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in many of his classes. He always speaks about we need to serve each other. Have you noted? He will speak about humility, because it's these values, when they are understood and practiced, that are nourishing for the individual, no? When he joins such a company. Good. Anyone else has a question?
Yes. One short follow-up.
Yes.
With giving, with expecting less and giving more, you talk a little bit about, and you inspire us so much with japa and kirtan and to go deeper. Sometimes with expecting less and giving more, devotees might just end up serving, giving, being compassionate, and they end up neglecting their self. Mm-hmm. How does our relationship with the Holy Name directly nourish us?
Yeah. Thank you for this very good question. See, I need to come back to this model. It is very easy to look at and very easy to understand, but so difficult to practice. When you are lacking in one of these areas, let us say he's giving fruit after fruit, he's only in the social level, and neglects the roots. The roots will become so weak that after some time he cannot continue that. It's important to do everything. And therefore, I tell the devotees, who learn this, I have only presented it now. Do a root check. Do a trunk check. Do a crown check. For instance, let me do it for you. Crown check. I think it's pretty good. I'm preaching at the moment a lot, and I'm impacting people. I can see that they tell it at least. And when I asked again, do you really mean what you just said? They say yes, and they convince me. Then let me go to my own trunk of the tree. At the moment, it is not so well. I have a bad foot. I'm generally a little exhausted. My emotional well-being, I think, is very good. I'm surrounded by very nice persons. I have a purpose in life. Really, I'm fired up for this. I have my glowing yes. I don't have negative self-talk. I forbid myself. You know, today, for instance, I was late even to the program. I could have finished me. You lazy bed bug. And I could have. But I said, I tried my best. I put the alarm clock. Maybe I was overly tired. So I excused myself like a gentleman does. Sorry for being late. But I didn't beat myself up afterwards. So emotion, but this is a small example. I want to say I'm also so grateful that Krishna is so kind to me in my life. So I'm emotionally a happy old man. As far as the root, I'm not so satisfied. I'm chanting all my rounds. I'm reading every day. I'm trying to think of Krishna, but I'm now so long in the movement, it should be better, and I will improve it after this class. Yes, you're laughing, but then I have time, then I chant and do everything. No? So I gave you an example of someone making a crown, trunk and root check. Don't forget the trunk is composed of how many points? Two, not one. Emotion and body, no? So I will, and as far as physics, I will also know. I know a simple exercise that I will do before I chant. It will take me 2 minutes, and that does a lot for general circulation. It's a little tough exercise, but we are from the old times. We are strong in the taking. Yes. Good. We have 5 more minutes. Who is there with a question? I'm looking. Yes, your good name again?
Pramisha.
Pramisha? Good. Pramisha. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Is there anything that we can do to attract Krishna even more?
Krishna likes very much when we serve his devotees. This is the secret tip to Krishna's heart. He just likes when we serve devotees. He says, someone who serves me directly may not be my devotee, but he who serves my devotee for sure. This is secret. That is where Krishna is. It's very, he forgets everything when someone serves his devotees. But genuinely, not, okay, I heard in the class I should serve you. Here, pan is a pizza. Not like that. Obviously. With a service spirit also should be there. Good. Yes, your good name, please.
Yamir. My name is Yamir.
Yamir. Wonderful name. Very good question, Yamir. You have understood Yamir's question? Everyone? I will repeat it for those who have not nodded. Thank you for not nodding if you have not understood. It's very good. You're making advancement. It's very important to be truthful on the spiritual path. So his question is, he can understand if monks who spiritually thrive don't have a physical well-being because they're old and so on. But it's very difficult to understand how those who thrive spiritually have an emotional deficit. This is a very good question. Yami, it is possible that you follow all the rules and regulations, like getting up early, following the morning program in the temple. We speak of monks, right? Fulfilling your vows, doing your service quota of maybe 6, 7, 8 hours of just selfless service throughout the day. Going through the motions, in other words, and suffering from less selfishness, which is being a little withdrawn, having become an introvert to a degree where it gets a little bit harmful for your personality. Introvertedness is just a character trait. It is as good or let us say as any other mood, but it could, when it brings you to that, you withdraw totally into your own mind, and the mind goes in circles, then it could be not so good. But we have seen monks being that. Now, strictly speaking, they are not spiritually striving. I must admit that. But you could say they do everything and they are seen as good monks, but they still there is things they suffer from. Therefore, in a monk, it's very important that he has a fellowship with other monks who can help him when there is something. But yes, but very strictly speaking, your word was very good. He's not thriving, really. Thriving is a very good word, no? Yes. Thank you for this very wonderful, very good question and necessary question. Good. I'm watching the time here. I think this is, let us keep this as an introduction to the Tree of Life, but let me just incite your intelligence one more time. See, the Tree of Life is so wonderful because the tree is, although we divide it into roots, trunk and bark and crown, it's one thing, you know. So what is the magic in this tree, in this thing? One thing will influence all the other things. What you do for the roots will also be felt in the physical and emotional part of your being. What you do in the physical and emotional part of your being will also influence the crown. You know, when you're strong, when you are healthy and happy, you can, of course, be more compassionate or more caring. It will also go down when your trunk is there. For instance, when you chant, you will not be so tired when you are physically well and when you have no worries and anxieties in your mind to digest, you know. In other words, advancement in one area will affect all the other areas. This is perfect synergy, so to say. or maybe that word synergy is not the right word here, but it influences everything. Now imagine if you take care of all the areas. Wow, you will fly. People will say, what did you learn on this Casey Sock retreat? And you say, oh, we have a message in the WhatsApp. There it is explained in detail. No, what? Tree of life. What's tree of, what tree of Yasmin or, no, tree of life. Ah, I've never heard about it. It's from the Kabbalah, isn't it? No. And you explain everything in detail. It's really powerful. It's very, very simple. I agree. But do you know, often the simple things have a lot of power in them. So I recommend you, if you forget everything, make a snapshot with your modern camera, and then you know, oh, my tree of life. And what it means is, it calls you to make a root check, trunk check, and crown check, and you will see it works. But you will soon be given a very good email, and there it will be show up. And then practice it, really. It will take you a year to get it all together, but then you are flying. I'm so grateful that this was implanted to me first by my grandfather, who was the giant, and he had a huge influence of my life. He was also spiritually well-educated. He knew the Gita, and he would speak from the Gita to me. He was an all-round genius. Really, you should have met him. But he would not have fit through the door. That's the problem. We would have to have a crane. The windows are even smaller here, so I don't know, through that. Good. So, fine, then we will end here. Please, there are two announcers. Please tell us how we will continue. Thank you very much, and Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Thank you so much, Maharaj. That was very insightful. I took away a lot from that, and I was reflecting on whenever I'm going through a tough period in life, and I reflect on why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, I always realize that it's because one of these areas in my life are not going so well.
Yeah.
So it's so important to keep hold of all of them and keep the endeavor to keep all of them thriving.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, and thank you so much, Maharaj. Just building on what Sri was saying, so same applies for me, I think. It's always, I tend to probably focus too much on two out of three of these, and always neglect the one, and it's always that one that ends up being the root of feeling some kind of disheartenment or burnt out. So thank you very much for making that clear once again. And also thank you so much for providing this this handout, which we'll be giving to everyone. We're getting a sneak peek into Maharaj's thorough research and deep realization. So we're very, very lucky to have. Thank you very much, Maharaj. We're excited that this is only the first one. We have so many more sessions with you for the rest of the day and the retreat. Yes, does anyone have anything that stood out to them? Anything that they wanted to share? no problem at all with knowing. I understand that we're 10 minutes into your lunch, so I'm sure you guys have it as well.
Take care of the
trunk. Exactly.
Sometimes one also needs to digest what one hears and mill over it and see how does this relate to me and which area should I maybe give more attention to. One needs to reflect a little. And therefore it's good if you have something where you can again go through it and then in your own time do this reflection process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, perhaps that's something that we can do over lunch. I actually remember this one exercise which Raj Bharatan shared with us, and he calls it the 3 R's, and it's incredibly useful to do. And it's, the first one is recall, so with a friend, try and recall what stood out. It will be surprising what you remember, but also just by you sharing your insight, other memories, the person you're speaking with. The second one is relish, so out of what you've recalled, what do you really relish, what can you really apply? And the last one is resolve. How can you resolve this in your life, how can you apply this? So we have a nice time where we get to have prasadam together. So perhaps it's an opportunity to engage in those 3 R's and really make the most out of these sessions by trying to see how we can apply them. So we've discussed that lunch is next. It will be from 12 to 1. After that we have a break from 1 p.m. to 2:30. I did see a couple slightly sleepy faces, so please use that break to take a nap, go for a walk, anything you need to take care of the junk here. And then after that we have our workshop, which I think we have another surprise Maharaj has kept for us, which will be at 2:30. So please arrive properly at the hall at 2:30, and for this one also, please be sure to bring your notebooks and pens.
Yeah.
We'll definitely need.
I must say that here you didn't need them so much, the notebook and pens. In fact, when I announced in the morning that please bring your pack, your trip pack, and the pens, I was slightly confused because there's so many programs which I give every day. It will be essential to bring it for the next. Here, you didn't really need it. I was I was mixing things up, programs up. So please remember to bring for the next session a pen and paper or notebook or whatever, wherever you can draw something.
Thank you.
Yep, so 2:30 back here, but other than that, now we can go for lunch.
Oh, sorry, just before you go, one last thing. I just remembered that tonight we have a Q&A with Maharaj. And please also use the breaks and lunches to, if there's an unaddressed question box right there on the table, it's the wooden box that says Casey Sock on it. There's also pieces of paper there and there's a pen. So please try and make the most of the Q&A. If there's any questions, absolutely anything that you have, please use it, write it down, put it in the box, and we'll address them tonight.
Yeah. May I also add something to this? The question and answer sessions can be so enlivening and inspiring, but they depend also a little on the questions, you know. So it's good if you think about it a little bit and just put a something into this. I don't see the box. Do you? Is it the basket? Or?
Would you mind just next to the basket?
Yeah. It looks like as if there are sweets inside.
Okay, so that's all. So there's just one thing left to do now, and it requires everyone to put both their hands up and with their hearts. 3 wonderful loud Hare Bols with Maharaj.
Hare Bol! Hare Bol! Hare Bol!
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj ki jai!